Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Day 13 of the Paris Olympics. Des Cahill, very good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Day 13. It's starting to feel like that. It's a quieter day today, Philip, for the Irish.
Well, isn't it just as well then that I, like everybody else in the country, is now an Olympic level expert in what it takes to run a 400 metres final after watching three semi-finals last night? Can we start there before we go on to today? It was pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, it went from exciting to dramatic, I found, because Rashida, we went from her cruising home in the heat. Remember, she was looking left both sides. She was buzzing in the interview, smiling, and everything looked rosy in the garden. Now, she qualified very well, which is the main thing, but there were an awful lot of things around her qualification that are making a lot of people here a little uneasy about her, in that she finished second. That was her job. The first two were going through. But she did tire up a lot on the last maybe 60 metres, even her form, as she said herself, her shape changed a little. She lost that a bit. And when she did her initial interview with David Gillick afterwards, I don't know if you saw it, she seemed rattled. Did you see that interview?
Yeah, I did. And yeah. I mean, look, even to an inexpert eye, the last 100 metres, she didn't seem as fluent as she had in the heat.
No. Michael Johnson, the great American 400 metre runner, referred to her last year about how brilliant she will be when she learns to work her arms properly, but she's absolutely not working her arms properly, in that they will help propel you better and breathe better, etc. So she's been working on effectively changing her running style, which is a difficult thing to do if you have had a style all your life and then they tried to change it. So, and she did seem to lose that shape, as you're talking about, the fluidity and rhythm on that last section, and she could have got caught for third place. So a little bit that bothered a few of the athletics experts I've been talking to here. And then the fact that she admitted to being a bit blown away by it all. And it looked to me like she's only 21. We've got to remember that. And this is by far the biggest stage she has been on. And it struck me that the enormity of it all dawned on her, and that she was maybe rattled as well by the false start that occurred.
Yeah, of which there were quite a few. But look, whatever did or didn't happen here, when you look to the final now, there are at least six runners in there who are, you know, all there or thereabouts. It is set up to be a really, really evenly, what's the word I'm looking for? A race of all of the talents.
Totally. And you see, because we're so excited and so focused just on her and not the broader picture, we're forgetting that she's up against women who've been running faster times for a much longer period than she has been. So you're right. The reality now is that people here are drawing their confident horns in a little bit and saying, you know, it'll be some achievement if she gets a medal. But we mustn't overlook that in all our time in athletics, we haven't had a female sprinter ever in a final. She's the first to do that, and she's 21. Her career is all ahead of her. Let's not write her off either. I do think the psychology of sport and these high performing athletes out here, when you're at a games like this, the one thing that strikes you is the loneliness of it for some of them in the individual, great loneliness, and then the importance of being able to recover from being shaken a bit, and hopefully she can. Jack Woolley yesterday in Taekwondo was a very good example of the loneliness of the long distance athlete. He fought in the morning and was beaten. Now, he did get into the repechage later, but after the morning event, he spoke about the loneliness, and it was the first time his granddad from Tala had gotten to see him fight ever, and his parents have hardly ever seen him fight. And he said, at least I won't be going back to an empty room this time. At least I'll have my parents.
I was thinking about Kelly Harrington waiting until like 10:30 at night before she actually gets to go and do her thing. What time or how long will Rashida have to wait now before running tomorrow?
The start time of the race, it's 7 Irish time.
7 Irish time.
But then again, they do that, bear in mind, obviously not at this level, but they would regularly have nighttime meets and no more than the boxing. So she would be used to dealing with that and coping with that. I mean, Reese McLenaghan, when we asked, we're told he's probably playing chess with his coach. You know, different strokes, different folks. So she will, 7 o'clock Irish time, that the whole country will stop now, Friday evening, 7 o'clock, won't it, tomorrow?
Now, yeah. To this morning, I have caught glimpses of Kate O'Connor in the heptathlon. What has been happening there?
Well, there's two events. Just to explain the heptathlon for those of us who are occasional viewers of heptathlon, we don't see it much, and it's great. She's the first Irish athlete to compete in heptathlon for Ireland. And arguably, I think this event finds the best all-round athlete in track and field. Maybe not the most famous, but the best all-rounder. There are seven events in heptathlon. It's named after the Greek word hepta, which means seven. So there's the 100. They do four events on day one and three events on day two. And on day one, there's the 100 metres hurdles, high jump, the shot put, and 200 metres. And then on the second day, they do the long jump, the javelin, and 800 metres. So it's a mix of jumping, throwing, and speed. And there's a baseline on which the score, the time you run, or the height you jump, or the distance you throw, goes into an algorithm that creates points, and you're given points. Your time switches to points, your height switches to points, and the distance you throw switches to points, and the highest points winner wins it. But it's very tough, and just to imagine an Irish person competing in this, they're very specialist events, aren't they? The hurdles, the high jump, shot put. So to get proper coaching at elite level, even just to get coaches at all of those things, is very difficult. And also, they probably have to train more than any other athlete because they're doing such a wide variety of disciplines. And training too much brings a load that can lead to injury. We actually had an athlete on the track, a German athlete, injured and bawling, crying, because she broke down and couldn't continue. But to answer your question about how has it gone for Kate, she's competed in the 100 metres hurdles now. She was 7th of 7 in her group. And unfortunately for her, all 6 who finished ahead of her had either their season's best time or their best time ever. All 6 of them.
Oh dear.
She didn't. But she's in the high jump now, and that's going very well for her. She is in the leading group here. She's cleared 1.71 metres. So she's going well in the high jump, but still a long way to go for her.
Which will include the long jump, the javelin, and the 800 metres tomorrow.
200.
Tomorrow.
Bit of shot put. Tomorrow, yeah.
Okay.
But shot put today, 200 metres. Yeah.
All right.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Talk to me about the golf and Leona and Stephanie.
Yeah, I won't talk to you for long about it because it's very disappointing. It really is. I'm still struggling to understand how it's gone so poorly for them. They both finished day one 6 over par. These are top levels. Stephanie was second in the US Open. Leona, as you know, everyone knows, Solheim Cup star and winner. And they finished 6 over, the two of them, yesterday. And today they've each dropped another shot. Leona's 7 over and Stephanie 7 over after 4 holes, so they're tied 53rd out of 60. So it's by their standards, it's
okay.
Really poor, and we had great hopes there, so that's not going great.
Let's
look at,
move on quickly then, as you say. The reason that I so confidently assert that I am the world's greatest living expert in what it takes to run a 400 metre final now is because I watched the men's final after those women's semi-finals, and that run by Quincy Hall last night.
Yeah.
My God, that was a piece of perfection, wasn't it?
Yeah, you see, but you'd have to say he won it because for people who didn't watch it, he wasn't in the mix with 30 yards to go and he came from 4th to 1st. But I wonder, rather than, we have to say he won it, but did the British fella lose it as a thing from, do you know what I mean?
Well, he finished
because
second,
he led,
so yes, by definition he did. But like,
no,
to,
but
to,
he,
to explain
yeah, but
to people,
it was his own fault. He was leading, arguably. And I think in his head, Matthew Hudson-Smith from Britain thought he had it won.
He probably might have done, but it doesn't take away from the fact that in the last 5 strides approaching the line, Quincy Hall passed not just the British runner, but
that's
two
three.
Others as well.
Yeah. With
and
his
he
stride,
was just,
there was, like, the length of the stride was ridiculously long, wasn't it?
I mean, it was absolutely superhuman stuff to look at. But tactically, really brilliant as well to wait until that late when the guys would have no response to what you're doing.
Yeah, well, you see, again, on the one, yeah, absolutely, you're right. But it was the ultimate timing. He won it by 0.04 of a second. I mean, that's timing. So in other words, it's only the width of the vest between them, 0.04 of a second.
Talk to me about, I didn't see this, but there was an awful incident in the 3,000 metre men steeplechase.
Yeah, in the final, it was a fall, and which can happen. You know, the 3,000 metres is... in the steeplechase, there's the water and there's the jumps. And it was the third last jump. And when one of the Kenyans went to make a move, he mistimed the jump over the hurdle and fell very badly. And it was a lot of shock and concern. It does happen. And the drama of it being towards the end of the 3,000 metres final as well. But in the end, it didn't affect the winner, and he went on to win. But the good news is that he's okay as well. We were worried about how he was after his fall, but he's okay as well.
Okay.
So, but should athletics bring such drama? In the last half hour, Philip, the 100 metres hurdles, or the 100 metres relays have been on. I love the 100 metres relay, 4x100 relay, because of the potential for drama. It's a bit like car crashing. But you know the way somebody's winning, and if the passing of the baton isn't spot on, they can get caught. So it's one of the most dramatic races, and we have our finalists now in both men and women, and they'll provide us with great finishes. And Saturday night, the last night, also has the 4x400 relay finals, which are hugely exciting and dramatic. So there's still
Listen
a lot to
you.
Come here, but not
birthdays and Christmases for Des Cahill all rolled up into one, aren't they, at the moment? All right, Des,
we'll
good man.
Home. Talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.